Okay, so let's dive into something I think is, well, a pretty universal modern headache. Your email inbox. We all absolutely depend on spam filters, right? They're kind of the only thing standing between us and total digital chaos.
They really are essential, no question.
But I've noticed something lately, and maybe you have too. The filters feel like they've gone a bit rogue. That invoice you were waiting for, the reply from someone you just emailed.
Gone, vanished into the spam folder, if you even find it at all. It's a real crisis of confidence.
Exactly. It's not just annoying, it feels unreliable.
Well, it's interesting you say that because we've got this really compelling analyst report today, and it argues quite strongly, actually, that modern spam filtering has just gone too far.
Gone too far.
How so?
Well, for years, the big goal was reducing what they call false negatives, making sure the actual junk, the dangerous stuff, didn't get through.
And we got pretty good at that, didn't we? We did. We got very good. But this report, it really shines a light on the flip side. The incredibly high rate of false positives we're seeing now, we're blocking legitimate emails constantly.
So we've basically traded a cluttered inbox for one where, I don't know, important stuff just randomly disappears. That doesn't feel like progress.
It really doesn't, which
Yeah.
is why our mission today in this deep dive is to unpack the sort of common sense rules and the basic logic that these modern filters seem to have just forgotten, especially with the rush towards AI and big statistics.
Okay, let's get into that.
So let's start with the analyst's main philosophical point. The whole reason for filtering is to reduce what they call the denial of cognitive services.
Okay, translate that for me.
Yeah, it's basically saving your brain power, stopping you from having to manually sift through thousands of junk emails every day. It's supposed to free you up.
Right. But if I'm spending 5 minutes every morning digging through my spam folder, hoping to find that one important contract or maybe an RSVP I missed, I haven't saved any brain power at all.
You've just been given a different, arguably more stressful task, cleaning up the algorithm's mess.
Exactly. It defeats the purpose.
Completely. And that's the core argument. These huge, complex statistical models, they're just not reliable enough for individual needs. The report suggests something simpler. Start with reliable, straightforward, rule-based systems first, like a basic first-pass filter. Only bring in the heavy statistical stuff if the answer is still, unclear. Let's bring some common sense back.
Common sense rules. Frankly, when you hear them, it makes you wonder why filters aren't already doing this. The analyst lays out three really basic ones, right? Based on just like how people actually talk to each other.
Absolutely. Let's take the first one, the reciprocity rule. This should be dead simple.
Okay.
If you send an email to me, my reply back to you, that should never be marked as spam. Automatically, it's an active conversation you started.
It seems so obvious. Why would a filter ever break that? I mean, I sent the first message.
It's baffling, isn't it? And the second rule is closely related, the address loop rule.
Address loop. Okay, what's that? Any email address that you deliberately send something to should basically be put on an allow list, letting them send emails back to you.
Makes sense. You initiated contact.
Right. And kind of the other side of that coin, to keep things logical, if you specifically block an address, the system shouldn't let you send mail to it either. It avoids contradictions.
Okay, so both of those are really about respecting the user's actions, the user's intent.
Exactly. User intent should be the top priority. The system knows what you did. But the report highlights a third rule where things really seem to fall apart. Allow list integrity.
This sounds like the I marked it safe, why is it still in spam problem.
That's precisely it. It's respecting your manual override. If you take the time to go into your spam folder, find an email, and explicitly click not spam, or add that sender to your safe list, that action has to be the final word. It has to be authoritative.
What it often isn't, is it? No. And the analyst gives a direct example saying, I have had examples of people whose spam filters have sent them to spam even then, even after they clicked not spam.
Wait, how does that even happen? What's the logic there?
Think about the mechanics. Your filter gets a direct command from you, the inbox owner. But the underlying algorithm, especially in big systems, might be prioritizing the statistical weight of, say, hundreds of thousands of other users globally who happen to mark that same sender as spam.
So, the crowd's opinion, even if it's just noise or irrelevant to me, overrides my specific instruction about my inbox.
That's what seems to be happening. The system values mass behavior, however inaccurate for the individual, over your high certainty explicit action. It sees 500 random spam clicks as more meaningful than your one allow click.
That just seems fundamentally broken. It's valuing the wrong data.
It really is. And this sort of flawed statistical thinking extends beyond sender reputation. It gets into the content itself.
Right, like judging emails based on how long they are, penalizing short messages.
Exactly that. The analyst points out, look, I very often answer with yes or no. A quick one-word reply is perfectly normal, efficient communication.
Yeah, sometimes that's all you need.
But if a filter flags that just because it's short, because it doesn't have paragraphs of text, well, it's not acting like a helpful gatekeeper anymore. It's like a really bad, overzealous editor.
Huh. Yeah. Okay. And it's not just length. It's also about specific words or phrases, right? Like linguistic profiling. I can see how that would be a huge issue for, say, researchers or journalists.
Oh, absolutely. The system flags content using really basic pattern matching, just words the filter doesn't like, with zero understanding of context.
So, like, if you're discussing spam itself.
Precisely the example the analysts used. They were quoting actual examples of known spam within a legitimate email, maybe for a security report or something, and their entire message got blocked.
Wow. So the filter literally couldn't tell the difference between being spam and talking about spam.
None whatsoever. Context is completely lost on the algorithm in those cases.
Okay, so if these basic rules about user actions are failing and the content analysis is context blind, what are these filters actually prioritizing? This must lead us to the big statistical methods and crowdsourcing.
It does. And this is where the analyst really takes issue with relying too heavily on external authorities, particularly things like spam listing services.
You mean like those big shared block lists?
Exactly. The argument is that data from those services should just be one factor, one parameter in a much more complex decision. It should never be treated as the absolute final word.
But hang on, isn't that kind of crowdsourcing like the bedrock of modern cyber threat intelligence? Are we saying all that collective data is bad?
That's a really important distinction to make. The source isn't saying collective data is useless. It's incredibly useful for identifying widespread threats like malware campaigns or massive phishing attacks. Where it falls down, apparently, is judging individual user preference or intent. Well, think about how someone ends up on one of those lists. A lot of spam reports happen simply because someone didn't want a newsletter anymore. It wasn't malicious. It wasn't dangerous. It was just unwanted commercial email.
And maybe they couldn't find the unsubscribe link or it didn't work, so they just hit the spam button out of frustration.
Exactly that. So the listing service takes that one person's preference, I don't want the specific email right now, and potentially generalizes it into this universal judgment, this sender is a spammer, without checking if there was a proper way to opt out.
Which seems unfair and, well, inaccurate for everyone else who does want that email.
Fundamentally unfair. And you see the same generalization problem pop up with email volume.
Right. The idea that sending a lot of email automatically makes you suspicious.
Which is another huge misstep in the logic. The source gives a really strong example. I have mailing lists with 30,000 email addresses, and they are all people who have signed up or agreed.
So, confirmed opt-ins. Legitimate large lists.
Exactly. If you run a business or a club or any large organization with a confirmed membership, your communication volume will be high. That's normal. Yet, purely statistical filters often flag this just based on the sheer number.
Instead of trusting that the recipients, if they really don't want it, will use the unsubscribe option.
Precisely. Don't force the filter to make a unilateral decision to block the whole list for everybody because of volume alone. Let individuals manage their preferences.
This really makes the case for empowering the individual user over these broad mass judgments. Which leads us to that pretty blunt quote from the analyst about crowdsourcing.
Yeah, it's definitely uncompromising. The conclusion is stark. Crowds are not wise. They are often stupid.
Wow.
And the implication there is that we have the technology now for incredibly fine-grained individual control, but instead these systems are often defaulting to the lowest common denominator, treating mass reports as gospel truth.
Instead of trusting the one person who actually knows what they want in their inbox, the user themselves?
Right. It's prioritizing the crowd's potentially flawed wisdom over individual certainty.
It really does sound like the filter is acting more like a gatekeeper with its own agenda rather than a tool serving the user.
A dictator, not a servant, as you said earlier.
So if the statistics and the crowdsourcing are unreliable guides, then the real root of all this frustration has to be the complete lack of transparency and control, right? You hit spam or you miss an important email and you have no idea why. It's just a black box.
Absolutely. And that lack of transparency is where the report says improvements must happen. It lays out three really crucial requirements for better filtering systems.
Okay, let's break those down. Requirement one.
Transparency. Simple as that. The provider, the email service, whatever system is doing the filtering, must be required to explain why it flagged an email as spam.
So like a little note saying blocked due to sender reputation or blocked due to content pattern XYZ.
Exactly. A clear, actionable reason. Did it fail that reciprocity rule we talked about? Was the sender's IP on a known block list? Was it because it contained the word Viagra? Just knowing why would force providers to actually stand behind their logic? It would solve a lot of problems on its own.
Okay, that makes sense. Accountability. What's requirement number two?
Adjustability. This is where we get control back.
Right.
The recipient, you must be able to adjust those reasons, tweak the parameters, and choose to block or allow based on your needs. And critically, you should be able to do this anytime they want and not as forced by the provider.
So if the filter flags something for high volume, but I know I signed up for that high volume newsletter.
You should be able to tell the filter, no, that reason doesn't apply to me for this sender, and your preference must override the algorithm's guess. You own the preferences, not the provider.
Right, user control. And the third requirement, it sounds like it tackles that statistical guessing game directly.
It does. It's about how personalization should actually work. The analyst argues the system shouldn't just guess your preferences based on global statistics.
So what should it do instead?
If the system needs to figure out what really separates good email from bad for you, maybe length is a factor for you, or certain topics it should actually ask you.
Ask the user, like prompt me occasionally.
Yeah, or provide clear settings you can adjust. Instead of trying to statistically deduce your unique needs from a million other unrelated inboxes, engage with the user directly. Your inbox is yours. The system needs to treat it that way.
Treat it as unique, not just another data point in the crowd.
Hmm. Okay. Now, we have to talk about one of the slightly funnier system failures mentioned. The source calls it spam answering spam.
Oh, yeah. That was quite something.
Yeah.
It's a really absurd example of just bad system design.
What happens?
So when a user clicks the spam button on an email, some providers, the report specifically calls out Google as an example, will actually send an automated email back to the original sender.
Wait, they email the spammer? To tell them what? To tell them that one of their recipients marked their email as spam. So the very act of trying to reduce unwanted email triggers another piece of unwanted or at least system-generated email.
That's wow. So the system trying to solve the spam problem actually creates more email traffic, more noise.
Exactly. The analyst literally says it adds more crap to the crap. It creates this ridiculous positive feedback loop where the solution actually generates more of the problem it's trying to solve. It's peak inefficiency.
A complete breakdown. Yeah. It really highlights how disconnected some of these systems are from the actual goal.
And it all really boils down to this core philosophy that the report keeps coming back to. One person's garbage is another person's gold.
Meaning filtering can't be standardized.
It can't. It's not one size fits all. It's probably not even a one size fits me forever because my needs might change. The system exists to serve the recipients and the legitimate senders, not the provider who just wants easy, large-scale statistics.
The provider doesn't know what's best for my inbox. Only I do.
Only the recipient knows that. That's the fundamental truth.
So, bringing it all together, the main takeaway today seems really clear. The whole email filtering world needs to sort of go back to basics. Fix these fundamental logical rules. First, reciprocity, respecting allow lists, understanding context.
Get the foundations right.
Yeah, and building transparency and real user control before layering on these complex, less reliable statistical methods that cause so many problems.
Absolutely. The failures identified in the report are pretty fundamental, ignoring clear signs of legitimacy, ignoring the user's own stated preferences, and maybe worst of all, structuring the whole system so it's inherently harder to get off a spam list than to get on it.
Which just opens the door to abuse, right? Someone gets annoyed and weaponizes the spam button.
Exactly. Disgruntled users, competitors, whoever, they can flood the system with reports, knowing it's incredibly difficult for the legitimate sender to fight back against that opaque statistical wall.
Okay, so since this entire deep dive has really hammered home the point that you, the listener, are the only person who truly knows what's important and legitimate for your own digital life, we could probably leave you with a final thought to chew on.
Yeah, building on that idea, given that these automated systems are actively judging and filtering everything coming into your inbox, often based on flawed logic or generalized statistics.
What crucial piece of knowledge, what important insight, maybe even what significant opportunity might you be missing out on right now, simply because an algorithm somewhere decided, based on its limited view, that it wasn't relevant or important enough for you to see?
It's definitely a powerful reason to maybe check that junk folder a little more often. You never know what gold might be hiding in the garbage.